So that's it. Okay, so we're in the middle of Yishkach Beth Hanan. At lack of Rav Torah, you know, when the need arises. Right, so last year, we were talking about what the Shittos are in terms of, you know, when does that apply. And we really saw a very wide range, right? The Re, really just on the biggest extreme, and, you know, we'll see it inside again just for like a very, very briefly, just to keep everything together. And so the Re, when dealing with our question of how can we be matir and aguna with an eid echad, right? Shouldn't we be in trouble because an eid echad is just insufficient evidence? So we saw some shittos who say, no, you have sufficient evidence, or you don't really need sufficient evidence in terms of formally, it's really a practical question of determining, you know, and Bezin can do that. The Re takes a different track and said, Leislan lamemar anan sadi, right? The daiko mitzvah, v'neman eid echad b'kach min haTorah. You can't say that. Elav mitakanas chachamim hi dineman ve'inze akiras davar min haTorah kivan shadome hadavar hagun v'hamim kamo shefarish. Because it's believable. It's, you know, it makes sense, and therefore, you know, we're gonna run with it, right? So so the Re just goes all the way over here and says, you know, like, yeah, akira mamish. Right, you're actually being over your government of Torah, and you can do that because injuries are, you know, that's a sort of one of the things that they're allowed to do. You know, they're allowed to do it as long as it's dome. Right? So the dome question, you know, why is it exactly important that it needs to be dome? So we said it needs to be dome. This is not the number of dome. So we said that can go in really two different directions. You can either say dome sas works because, right? Appearances matter, and the minds, they, a lachic system. And the minds halacha, it looks like we're just ignoring it. So we can't go against the halacha, but basically they're running around, you know, given the power to do so when necessary, and they can do it, right? The whole point is basically they need to protect the halacha, you know, from whatever problem is going to come up. They have the authority to do so, but it has to be, you know, something that doesn't undermine their system as a whole. Or, we thought was, they can do it, but only by making use of a pre-existing halachic structure, right? Much like the Rav says by Sfiras HaOmer, that you can only make Sfiras HaOmer have like a din of avelos if you're using, you're saying, oh, it's like X din, it's like Shloshim. So we're making Sfiras HaOmer like Shloshim. So as long as you don't make that, and it's hovud, and it makes sense, and conceptually there's, you know, there's what to go on, even though you're right, it's not really that, but the Rabbanim are allowed to sort of impose that halachic structure, you know, in this case, even though it doesn't really apply, right? So you need to use an actual halachic structure. You have to say, oh, you know, jumps up and down three times and like spin around, right? You pick a bell cotton. There has to be making use of some halachic structure. They could just impose it in an area where it's not really meant to be, okay? Must use real halachic structure. Okay, fine. That's like the extreme shita that you really could be okay. Okay? On the other hand, we had shitas who thought you really, right, you basically cannot be okay. They're not really being okay. And what they're doing is basically telling you, oh, you know, here we have this clash between two different daraisas. Here's the way to navigate. Right? The Aruch Lener was very, very interesting. The Aruch Lener, Dafka, went and said, there. Yeah. He points out that according to Rashi says, oh, you know, Mukta wouldn't cut it in terms of being doche the mitzvah of lulav. Demashi yesh rishos lechachamim lako davar min haTorah b'shevi al paseh. Haynu midiksev u'shmartem es mishmarti.
דרשינן עשו משמרת ומשמרתי. ובזה מקיימן חכמים הציבוי של הקדוש ברוך הוא. But that's only, אכן זה לא שייך רע, אם אתה כאן סייג למצוות דאורייתא. והוא רק תיקון הבעלמא, לא, יש להם רשות לעקור מצוות מן התורה. וחכמים can only apply, יש חכמים לעקור מן התורה, if there's no akira, right? It's just, you know, essentially it's like, let's say stalemate, or no, it's like it's a balancing act, basically. Okay, so the Rav there says, that what happens? The Chacham can only do it when they're saying, we have mitzvah, and here they're coming into a sort of a clash or a quasi-clash, so I can tell you how you're supposed to balance between them. If it was a question of mukta versus a mitzvah d'oraisa, then there'd be nothing to talk about. Right? Chacham couldn't, if they wanted to, they couldn't use the Yishuv HaKel from Iman. This is our Tanair. I think green is supposed to be the start. This is so horrible. Okay. Okay. And the Svara is, right, it's really Doraisa versus a Doraisa, right? And the Chachamim are just coming to tell you how to balance those two. Okay? So here the Risa says, really, we're being okay, as long as we have a little bit of a reason, right? They can't do an error, but assuming that it's an appropriate situation, they can. Yishkal HaKadim says they actually can come ahead and say, well, we're going to be okay this day, you know, we got up. Over here, Rav Hunter says, no, we can't do that. Not only can they not do that, they can't even tell you B'Shei Deltas and not to be kind of mitzvah unless the concern that's countering it is another Doraisa, and then they're telling you how to deal with that clash of values. Okay. Right, just sort of stepping in from the sides, the Tosfos Yeshanim, right, points that says something very similar to the Ri, but he adds that Shaviyuha Kimeis Mitzvah, in the case of Kvura Mimitame, and even though El Debezin Yechol Nakar Dermen HaTorah, Ki Chacha Sheish Tam Gadol Mak Tam Tam Ktsas, Delo Yaris Lo Av Umasidino Ve'in Zachashiv Akiva. Okay, the Tosfos Yeshanim steps in, you know, a step closer and said, well, it's not actually an Akira. You can't do it if it's really going to be an Akira, but it's not really an Akira. Right? It's like, you know, Lav Akira Manash. Why? So the, remember blue? Tosfos Yeshanim says it has to have a tam gadol. It has to really, really fit. Right? And what we tried to explain is that you could say it needs to be similar because otherwise it looks bad, or otherwise you're not really imposing a halakhic structure here, just saying something random. Right? So that you can change the hadara, but they can't actually, right, make something that doesn't actually fit. The Tosfos Yeshanim sounds like he's saying, and what really we're doing is we're just giving formal acknowledgement to something which conceptually is already true, right? Why isn't this woman a Meis Mitzvah, right? Or why isn't the Kavod HaBriyos that stands behind the Heter of Meis Mitzvah applicable here, and applicable because she's his wife? And certainly, right, she's not technically his wife. And we have a technical problem here. So the Chachamim can come and say, well, right? The only reason why there's no problem, a heter based on Kavod HaBriyos and the fact that she's his wife is because for very technical reasons, right? She isn't technically Midoraisa's wife. She's only his wife Midorabah. So Chacham can come and give formal acknowledgement to something that's already conceptually true, right? Well, let's say in Eid Echa, of course we believe, should believe this Eid Echa, right? It's a Debra Asui Liguye. There's no reason not to believe him. Formally, the standards for Eidah says, if it's not formally, you know, formally stated in Eidah Shavah Rapapas Mishnayim and doesn't meet the legal requirements. My brother once went to renew his license, and his old license was expired by like 2 days or 1 day. So he goes and she says, you need to show a valid photo ID in order to prove that you're you. And he says, yes, I got my license here. She's like, no, but it's expired. He says, like, yes, but like my face hasn't changed so much in the last 2 days that this isn't a very good proof that I am who I claim to be. And she says, no, sir, like that's expired, right? So what are they arguing about? Right, so the lady there, that's much what they're arguing, right? She's saying, well, legally, it does not good, it's not a legal photo ID, right? And he's saying, well, yeah, shkayach, but like you just need me to prove who I am. That's exactly what we're talking, right? Kid Echad proves who he is, but it's not a valid photo ID anymore on a legal level. So the Tosfos Shem says that's exactly what we're doing here. We, the Rabbanan, are giving formal acknowledgement to something that's already conceptually true. So we're just, you know, really, it should logically apply in all these cases in order, because, right, halacha is law, so it actually needs to apply to cases which objectively meet criteria. We can't just say in each case, oh, like, you know, you follow your gut if it, like, makes sense, right? So you need ados. You can't just say, like, oh, I'm convinced in this case. Here we can say this counts as a sufficient standard formal, right? We're giving formal acknowledgement to what's conceptually true. We're giving a form of conceptual truth. Really, it should apply to cases A and B. We're expanding it to C, since C logically should apply, even though formally it doesn't meet the criteria, because it's not objectively true enough. So in this case, she's not really his wife, right? She's not really a Mace Mitzvah, but essentially, if you put those two together, she clearly falls under the rubric, right? She just isn't legally that, because she's only Darabanan, his wife, not Daraisa. So on a Daraisa level, you don't meet the requirements, right? But they're married, right? But they're Rabbanan, but they're still married. So ultimately, the Rabbanan are saying, okay, they're married to the Rabbanan. We're going to impose the fact that, yes, she is, you know, she is. The point of it still applies here, and we can tell you to do that. Right? Fine. Okay, great. Moving in from this side, okay, so here, it's not really an akira. It's formally we're changing, we're bending the rules, or we have the authority to formalize what is conceptually already true. So then, there's not really an akira of the din. We're really just applying the din. We're just applying it to a case that otherwise it shouldn't have applied to for very technical reasons, and the Rabbanan could give technical approval to that conceptual truth. Okay. Over here, we have, moving in again, right, we had the shita of Rabbi Chanan Vasar. Right. So Rav Chanan has this great point. He's debating between two things, right? Are we being okay at the din, or we're not being okay at the din, we're just changing the result? And he gives a bunch of really mishmak nachminas. We talked about it last year. But his eager point is like this. Either we're being okay at the actual din, which is the din doesn't apply, right? Or we're just changing the application. Right, the din applies, but the nafkamina, right, the din's application is being overridden. So I can say, oh, there's no, there's no problem of edus here, let's say, or we're saying no, right, there is no edus, but, and you do need edus, but, you know, nonetheless, you can sort of ignore that problem. Or, in case, let's say, lulav and Shabbos, they can say, oh, there's no mitzvah to lulav. If you take a lulav, you're not going to give it. Or they can say, there's a mitzvah, but you're not supposed to take it in. And then he points out the following, right? What if you're not being okay the din, but you're being okay the totzah, right? You're being okay the chiyuv, or the mitzvah. Okay, how do you do that? So Rav Chanan says, maybe, Ella, Shenege Din Torah, Yishlanu Gamkin Din Torah, Shaasar Lavra al Devre Chachamim. Right? He gives you a very technical, very clear explanation of what's happening. How do we have this power? So he says, very simply, the Chachamim, it's only Akira to himself. Maybe you're still making, I guess. And you're being okay to Tosa. Or okay to Nachman of the day. How do you do that? The Torah says, take a lulav, right? And the Rabbanan say, don't take a lulav. Now what happens then? Why do you listen to the Chachamim? How can they tell you not to take it? Since there's a mitzvah not to that you're supposed to listen to the Chachamim of Lotas. So what happens is, and then what results is you have Takanas Chachamim that says, which is the mitzvah of Lo Tasur, and you have to listen to the Takanas of the Chachamim, right? And say, don't take the lulav. You have mitzvah that says, do take the lulav. This is Doraisa, right? Lo Tasur. This is Doraisa, right? Which comes and leaves you with a stalemate. So what do you do? Shigal Tasa, right? You have two contradictory mitzvahs, Lo Tasur and the mitzvah. They clash. They basically neutralize each other, and then you just can't do anything, right? So I already pointed out that on the one hand, right, these are two are very similar, because they're both getting you to Doraisa versus Doraisa, but conceptually they're very different, right? Because here there's really no Akira going on, right? You have these two mitzvahs Doraisa, they clash with each other, essentially, and the Chacham are just helping you navigate that. They're telling you how to navigate that, right? You're supposed to listen to them, but ultimately, the clash is happening on the Doraisa. According to Bochanan, the Chachamim got up one morning and said, we're going to neutralize this Doraisa. We're going to take it out, you know? We're going to block all the streets and, like, you're not going to be able to take your lulav. So it's just a very, on the one hand, technically, the mechanism is the same. It's almost the same, right? We're saying there are ultimately two Doraisas that just neutralize each other. But the process here is the Chachamim came and decided to knock it out, while here, they're naturally conflicting, and the Chacham are telling you how to navigate it. Right? So conceptually, they're actually very different, even though on a very mechanical level, they're working the same. Okay. Now let's move on to the new Makoros.
So are you saying that, Rabbi Chanan's saying that that they tell you how to navigate, you know, after the stalemate has happened?
No, once you have the stalemates of Rabbi Chanan, then you're just stuck, right? You have the Lo Tasur, you have the mitzvah, and they neutralize each other, and then what you do is just, you know, Shev El Tasa Adif, and then you just can't, you know, you can't do anything. So whatever happens, happens, basically.
No, yeah, I'm going to say sort of a bad case to prove from, because Shev El Tasa happens to be what the Rabbanan wanted you to do anyway.
Exactly. It's all basically, I mean, assuming you hold, right, the Gemara is going to say that while the Yishkot Be'acham and Lachman Yagran Torah Bukum Be'asay are only Shev El Tasa, but if you hold they can only do it B'Shev El Tasa, then it's perfect, right? Because they're all, why can they only do it B'Shev El Tasa? Right? What's the point of that? Why not B'Shev El Tasa? So Rukhana says, because formally they can't do anything else, right? They're only coming to this ability to knock it out because Lo Tasur is Doraisa, so it can sort of stand and stalemate the whatever mitzvah it is that's, you know.
Sorry. Isn't the Lo Tasur is a Doraisa love, and the Lulav is Doraisa Ase, and isn't an Ase Docha a love? Unless you hold that Chachomim is, to listen to the Chachomim is an Ase, then there would be a stalemate, but in this case, isn't it? The way that Rabbi Chanan's phrased it is that it's a love, Doraisa.
Okay, yeah, very good. So I didn't put that in. I should have. You're right. Right. You normally say Asa Docha Losa Se.
But Lotasar is not the only mitzvah. It's also Kechol Asher Yeruch. There are two, there's a lot of ananase for listening to the comment. So you have a right inase docheva fedase. So you're still sort of still.
So why did Rabbi Elchanan choose to use the language of Lotasar? Why did he say Lavar, I'll different comment?
It must
said
be
it in negative form, where he says Isser Lavar, I'll different comment.
I think just for convenience, but does he even say explicitly?
He doesn't say mitzvah l'shabbat. He says the opposite.
But that's a little opposite. Now, El Shneged Din Torah Yishlam Dam in Din Torah Shasul Avod Erechachamim. But he's just mentioning the din. He's not talking about the makor. It's a lot of the asay. So he didn't go into the fact that it's a lot of the asay and a lot of ananase. Yeah, but it's a lot of ananase. We'll look at it in the Rambam in a few minutes. But it's both a lot of ananase, so in ananase, you'll have to say the asay. Okay. Fine. Okay, just, let's continue. So let's move on to the next set of makoros. So the Gemara in Yivamos and Aftadi, sort of, you know, wants to know, okay, where did that come from? Tashema, Elav Tishmaun, by a Navi, Afilu Omer Lcha Avor Al Achas Mikom Mitzvah Sheva Torah, Pigon El Yahu Bahar HaKarmel, right? Where Eliyahu on Har HaKarmel is doing Shechutei Chutz, right? He's offering Korbanos outside of the Mishkan. Right? How can he do that? So the, right? HaKol Afisha, Shamalo, right? A Navi is allowed to say, you know, Harasha, that we're going to be over on a mitzvah for some, you know, great necessity. So the Mokmar answers, maybe that's the Mokmar. Shani Hasam, Tixid, Elav Tishmaun, Viligmar Mine, Migdar Milsa, Shain. Why don't we learn out from the Navi? Because, right, Migdar Milsa, to, you know, cases of emergency are special, are distinct. Okay? So the Rajba there, So the Rashi says, wait a second, why don't we learn the exact opposite from there? Right? Shouldn't we learn? You could put in an emergency, you know, law. You can give them emergency powers, right? But, you know, we're not going to switch over to, you know, to just they can do anything. For Lidoros, right? It's in specific cases of emergency. V'yish lomar, d'chol tarkanos chachamim l'fi tzorech ha-shahim mishum migdar davar. V'kasok adayetim lo amru l'fi shah elo l'hotzi navi sh'amar chazar bo akash baruch hu mimitzvah plonis v'vata l'olam she'in shom. Right? Basically, you know, tarkanos chachamim are basically exactly that. Right, they're cases of, you know, of emergency. Right, why are we being oker davar min haTorah? Because it's, you know, it's an emergency situation. Right, and the answer is yeah. Sometimes emergency situations are, you know, sort of long lasting, and in an ideal world it wouldn't be a problem. But it's not an ideal world, and it's, you know, X situation is always an emergency. So let's say any case of aguna creates a situation of emergency, and therefore the chachamim can, you know, step in to, to deal with the issue. What's interesting here, what's really interesting here, in addition to that, which is always fun, right, is this idea that where's the power coming from? Where's this authority coming from? Right, if you hold, let's say, like the Ri, you know, how can they make such a drastic alteration? And so the Rajbi here is essentially saying, oh, all these changes, right, we're using emergency powers, right? And when we're using emergency powers in a Hanami, right, that goes against the system, right? That's a problem. But, right, you know, Lefisha, it's temporary. It's a very, very long-lasting temporary measure. But essentially, it's a temporary emergency measure. Okay? So then you can do something like this, but only because, right, let's say, one option. It's an emergency measure, and we just really don't have right, much of a choice within the system, but the Chachamim are given, right, this, you know, this clause that says, you know, you can suspend the Constitution in cases of emergency, right? You can be okay, you can be Matir HSH even with one aid if that's, you know, if that's necessary. Okay, the Ritva takes this more a little bit differently. The Ritva says, okay, Vishapirshu, Elamigdar Milsa Shiny, Klomar, L'Ulam Shapir Gamrina Mina, Vitaratacha. In a Hanami, we learn from there, right? Tahasa Migdar Milsa Lisha, Avalakar Dominator Ladoroslo, Vichain Hilchaza, Vishavi Al Tasa Bezdin Ogrin, Lafilu Lotase Lotarachasha, O Hefkamam on the Olam, Avalakar Losa Ladoros in Lahemershans. Okay, and this is it. Because what we're doing is we're saying that there are two separate things. They can do Shevi Al Taseh whenever. Separately, there are the emergency powers, which are temporary. So there are two separate systems, right? There's the emergency power to say, oh, in case of emergency, Eliyahu can get up and, you know, and say, oh, it's an emergency, we gotta, you know, bring Korbanos on Obama. We got to get rid of the Obazara. Separately, we can say, B'shevi al taseh, don't, you know, it's a takana, don't bring lulav on Shabbos. Okay? But then what are we saying about not bringing lulav on Shabbos, on Shevi al taseh? Right, it's not an emergency. It's not, right? Here we're being oker. But it's an emergency, right? There's an emergency measure that says there's this overriding power to, you know, in case of emergency, to be mevatel and be oker, even though it's oker, but okay, you know, emergencies are. What the Ritva is saying is that in case of emergency, you can do a shei kumbiase. But separately from that, the shei al taseh means not really akira, it's not a problem, right? Which means that basically he's sort of combining, right, both sides. You know, you can have an akira mamish, you can have the emergency measures, but separately, these aren't emergency measures, right? And that's what's interesting, right? We have to say something like, oh, you know, it's not that there's an emergency measure and we're, you know, stepping in to deal with the problem, but within the system, there's this ability to be, okay, we should be able to pass that. So if you think that it's all, you know, internal, we're not using any emergency powers, we're not using the emergency clause, so you have to say there's something that keeps the akira out of the picture. So, and it's more of that extreme way is the COVID shiurim, which says, oh, there are a bummer coming in and saying, oh, we could bring Lo Sasur and Kekalasha Yerucha to, you know, to roadblock another mitzvah of Arayasa. A little bit of the problem there is, I point out that they still have to intentionally comment and be okay. Right? There is a measure of akira going on there, which sort of means like, oh, you know, why is that appropriate in non-emergency situations? Especially once we said there's a step. Emergencies are totally a separate thing. But if you go with the Aruch HaNeir, it works out very nicely. It's much easier to look to palate because it's really just an internal system situation where you have to balance these two different issues against each other. The downside is that the Aruch HaNeir situation is a little bit less like a little bit less than power, right? Because to say that every case, let's say Eid Echad, is a balance between two different daraisas that are just sort of sitting there, doesn't really fit well. I don't think he would say that, although it's a little bit of a question. You don't know, he just wouldn't understand our Gemara, like Tosfos. Right. So here, this is just going to limit your ability to apply Yishkof Yat from Lachar from the Torah. Okay, the cool Akoshita, though, is the Rambam. Because the Rambam says, is Bezdin HaGadol is basically sort of the opposite extreme. Okay, actually, yeah, just sort of conceptually, the Rajma said, every time the Rabbanan do Yishkach Be'ar Chachamim, they're doing an Akira, and it's an emergency power, and so is an emergency power. And the Ritva said, actually, every time, unless it's, you know, there are emergency powers, but normally, right? The Shevi Al Taseh is not an emergency powers. Right? And
they're just two separate things, right? There's the emergency powers and there's the non-emergency powers, right? This is more like the rat. Okay, the Rambam, what's the alternative? Is to say it's never all emergency powers, right? We say, oh, we're being okay, and we're overriding the system. We could say that we're not overriding the system, except when we are. But what if we're never overriding the system? So the Rambam says, Bezdin Hagodol Shabi Yushalayim, Heim Ikar Torah Sheba Alpeh, V'heim amudei ha'hora, u'mehem chuk u'mishpa yotze l'chol Yisrael, v'aleihem evticha Torah, shenemar al pi ha'Torah asher yorucha, zu mitzvos asei, v'zan asei, v'chol ha'manin v'moshe Rabbeinu v'torasso, chayev lismoch maisa hadas aleihem, v'lishayin aleihem. Now that's already an interesting expansion. It's not just, it's not just that, that you're chayav to listen to them, right? And that, oh, if they have the ability to, like, let's say, make a takana, which then has the force of a lav yaseh, which then can create a growth of it, right? We're already saying that the way in which you apply halacha has to be based on, right, chayav lismach ma'isa hadas aleihem v'lishayin aleihem. Right? So the appropriate application of the Torah is how they say it, how they say you should apply it. Kol mi she'ino oseh, Right, things that are siyagim and things that are necessary for, right, whatever horasha, the hein hagzeros va'atakana osvam enagos kol echad ve'echad meil shoshu dvarim mitzvas asei l'shaman, right, lav and the asei v'ha'over al kol echad mehen over below tasei harehu amur al pi atorah asher yerucha ilo atakana osvatzeros va'menagos sheyiru behen l'rabim why kidei l'chazek hadas v'latakin ha'olam. All these things are a fundamental part of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Okay, and a fundamental part of how Torah is supposed to be applied. Okay, the fact that Torah is supposed to be applied based on the psakim of Beis Din HaGadol is the same as the reason why Torah needs to be applied based on the siyagim and the gzeros of Beis Din HaGadol. Okay? So it's an integrated part of the application of Torah. It's not only, right, that's the supreme authority for deciding how we pass in his Beis Din, but also, and you have to implement it based on their psakim, but also you have to implement it based on their gzeros. Right? The Yesh LeBeis Din lak, and part and parcel of that is Yesh LeBeis Din lak or Satvarim Elu Lefisha, Afahu Pishu Katam in Arishonim. Right? Part of that is not just that they make zeros and siyagim, but also that they have the emergency powers. The emergency powers aren't something that come from on top and like override, you know, the mitzvah. Right? Part of the mitzvah is that it should be applied based on the horos of Beis Din. Right? Al bishu katam rishonim shelo yu gzeros elu chamurim midivrei Torah atzma shafilu divrei Torah yesh l'chol Beis Din la'akro b'horasha. Right? Beis Din can be okay takanos and be dar, can understand the Torah differently, and let's say passing differently than their predecessors. And how do we know that? Because they can clearly argue on their predecessors, because they could be okay government at Torah, behorasha. Right? It's like, you know, shalom, it's a kavachomet. Kitzad, Beis Din shero lechaze kadas, velaso siak, de shalom yavru ha'am al divrei Torah. Also remember, what's the milah mancha here? Right, lechazek hadas. Right, it's about upholding the religion as a whole. Makin va'onchin shlokidin about in kovin hadavar ledoros. Right, they can't be kovea as something that's true as doraisa ledoros. Va'omrim halacha kachu. Right, that would be a huge problem. That'd be aser. That would be bal tosef. But v'chein ro lefishal levata mitzvasei levav v'ra mitzvas lo sasei kidei lechazek. Right,
כשיב שערוף איכות יחידו רג לא שוזה כדי שיגיחיה כולו, כך בזדן מורים בזמן בין, בזמן בין הזמנים לעבור הקסס מצוות לפי שעה כדי שיסקיימו כולו. ויחלו על שעה בסך חס כדי שמר שעבר סוס הרם. Okay, now, let's get that next round. It's also great. Okay, anyway, they're really good Rambams here. I'm going to skip the rest of that. Okay, but what's the Rambam saying here? And this is key. He's essentially saying something that combines these two sides of the world. Right? On the one hand, right, there is a stalemate, right? But on the other hand, so it's not there's no akiva, right? There is an akiva, right? Where Rambam at the end there says, like, you know, it's like an amputation, you gotta do it. But you are cutting the lapim off a limb. So you're not knocking. But it's different than what the Kohen Shiurim is saying. Why? Because what the Kohen Shiurim is saying is a chachamim have the ability to make a takana. And that takana has this X amount of power. Right? And counter to that, here's the Dindoraisa, which has X amount of power. And what you could do is you could create a stalemate. Right? But it's almost artificially being imposed. Right? So Aye says, well, you know, how can they do that? And you're right. In a certain sense, it's very simple. What the Rambam is doing is saying, no, you don't really have an external clash of, oh, well, how can they come and knock it out? So Rav Chana says, oh, well, you have X amounts of power at your disposal. What he says is that ultimately, right, there is an akira, but there isn't one. Because internal to the system is that you're supposed to be doing this, right? It's not that, oh, there's mitzvah A, and then the Chachamim are coming and trying to knock it out, right? Exactly. It's not a technical knockout, right? It's not like, oh, we have, you know, X amount of power, and we could use that to stalemate with the mitzvah. You know, we can neutralize the mitzvah. The whole din of applying mitzvahs in general is, right, Bezdin Shevei Yushalayim Heim Ikar Ha'amudei HaHorah, right? And anyone who believes in Das Moshe Rabbeinu, right, has to be the kind of Judaism lefi the way Sanhedrin HaGadol tells you to. So what happens is, it's not that, oh, there's like, you know, we're coming in and we're neutralizing it, right? When you wake, you know, Torah exists, right? You wake up in the morning, and now the question is, how are you supposed to do the mitzvahs? And so, simultaneously with, oh, me'ikar hadin, right? We should be passing the Torah of Pachos Mishnayim, right? Comes, but Chachamim say, you know, that we shouldn't be applying that in this case, right? Not because that's the halacha, right? The little tigra thing said it was the halacha, but because, right, that's part of, you know, the application of halacha is that it needs to be done, lefi, the horas of Sanhedrin Gadol, and they are also, in addition to darshaning, you know, the psukim and passing the halacha, they're supposed to be gezeiros. That's an organic and integral part of the application of halacha, right? So it's not that Bezdin are going to be bokeh government of Torah. Right? You have conceptually, you have the Torah conceptually, says the Rambam. Right? Let's say this is a conceptual halacha. Right? The conceptual halacha is being nekar. Right? That we are, in fact, gonna be okay. This is going to be nekar. Right? But in terms of the application of halacha, and the application of halacha is always supposed to be, right, al pi haTorah asher yirucha, right, ba'al mishpat asher yirucha yinim yisma. The application of halacha always is, right, LP Sanhedrin. And if it's always supposed to be LP Sanhedrin, then we're not being okay the application and saying, oh, really, you're supposed to do A, but we're telling you to do B. And we can do that because we have X amount of power, or because internally it's consistent. It's really, you know, there's no clash in the first place, or right, clash already existed. On the conceptual level, we are being okay. Not like that. But the application was never supposed to be different. Right? Because application was always supposed to be LPS and entrant. So when they come and they say, oh, you know, if they come and they say, oh, really, you know, we pass game like Rebbe Lazar, not Rebbe Akiva,
I wouldn't say, oh, you know, wow, you're really supposed to do like Rabbi Akiva, but now we're going to pass the Menachlazer because the Nebuch of Communion. It's an heaven for us, right? The appropriate application of halacha is, right, how Sanhedrin Rabbi passes. In which case, right here, there's actually no Akiva on the application of it. Now, Rashi says that it would be low tigra if they were to tell you that this application is also the conceptual halacha in this case, right? That would be awesome. But there's no problem with the fact that they're telling you that the appropriate way to apply this is, you know, on Shabbos not to take lulav. Or by, why? Well, that's our takana, right? If they see that that's what's necessary for the maintenance of Judaism as a whole, right, their job, then they're just, right, telling you how to be mekayim Judaism. Now, in terms of the conceptual halacha, this nikuda, right, this individual point is suffering, right, in order for the guf as a whole to, right, this limb is being, you know, lopped off, almost a bit, right, in order to save the entire organism of halacha, but ultimately, we are in no way being oger a part of halacha, right? The halacha as a organic whole isn't being met at all. Which is great because it maintains a similarity to the Kodesh Yoram in terms of the mathematical sense it has, but without any of the conceptual problems of, well, wait a second, like, why are we coming in and, you know, sort of taking everything in our power and creating this world? Yeah.
I think there's like conceptual infection, especially with the metaphor of the armaments being cut off and saving the applications. Conceptually, well, it can be sometimes to be perfect or a wild situation, but the application with the Chachamim went through it in more places.
I don't think I would put it that way. I would say more that, you know, the world is, you know, the world is an imperfect place more than halacha is an imperfect system. Right. Part of what the Rambam is saying here is that there are two
laws of existence. Sure.
Yeah.
It's like the application.
Right. But I think it's two things. I mean, Rambam is saying conceptually the halacha is a perfect system, right? And it's conceptual truth. Now, let's say, right, al pishnai mei b'yakum davar like idav jarav b'avos mishnayim. Conceptually, it's totally true. And more importantly, right, it's a reflection of an objective fact.
Sure.
Either because, you know, if you don't have the ethos, you don't really know. Or because, right, in order to change, like, you know, your someone's status, you need two edim. It's more than just about knowing. It's about, you know, a certain quality of knowing, a certain, you know, it being known, not only us not being able to tell what, you know, the mitzvah is. But, that being said, right, in terms of this woman who can't get remarried now, right, that's a tragedy. So, we say, oh, well, you know, conceptually speaking, right, and you're stuck. So sometimes the answer is, yeah, like, you're going to be stuck, and it's unfortunate, but, right, truth is, it is truth, and life, and we're about to mash out, and you have to bow to objective truth, even when it's unpleasant and horrible and convenient for your personal circumstances. But what the Rambam is saying also is that the world is not, you know, purely conceptual. The world also, right, is messy and has lots of protuberances that sometimes need to be locked up. And in terms of the application, but that's part of the system as well, right? And that's so beautiful that we're acknowledging that both there's objective conceptual truth. It's us who says the Rambam for you to, you know, say like, oh, really, Eid Echad is good enough. And the Rambam, I don't know, I've been trying to hold the whole time the Eid Echad by Hatara Sahuna. I don't think he holds like that. So, I mean, I'm just using this as an example. It's not actually really applicable in this case. But, you know, in this case, you'd say, oh, you know, if you say, oh, really, you know, you're not supposed to take lulav on Shabbos, you know, conceptually speaking, and I said, no, of course you're supposed to take lulav on Shabbos. But you shouldn't, because it might lead to people being mechal Shabbos. Right? And obviously, that'd be very unfortunate if people are trying to bring lulav and end up being mechal Shabbos. So, while conceptually, right, lulav is, you know, totally compatible with Shabbos, and it would be usher to misrepresent that, right? Nonetheless, part of the system is also that chachamim need to make that work, you know, in the real world.
A great example of this is also, it's like on the Ram, this whole discussion where it's written, right? If you need to eat in for every murder case, right? You can go right and Hasra, and the guy has to be Makabel Hasra. So you need to go to a guy who's about to kill someone with two other, with another person, and say, you are about to go over on those here. So if you do so, you'll be Chayiv Nisa. And the guy then has to turn around, look at you in the eye, and say, yes, I'm an Askin Adiosa, and then kill the guy, right? How, you know, I mean, anyone could go around killing anyone and get away with it. So Ron says, no. Why? Because, and this is pretty much it, once you hear it, you're like, oh yeah, that's very convincing, and that's like proved in a bunch of places. But there are two parallel justice systems also. There's Din Sanhedrin, which is primarily about Papara, and then there's Din Malchus, which is whatever is necessary for law and order. Right? Which makes so much sense, right? There's a question of when is a guy chayiv misa, right? When does he deserve and need to be put to death? If he, you know, there are two edim and he says, I know that I'm committing first degree murder and I need to kill this guy and I'm totally with all of my right, you know, right mind. So then of course we're gonna, you know, we need to execute it. Anyone else, right? You know, you come with all sorts of, you know, this is my name, and we do come up with all sorts of excuses why not to execute people ever, right? So, we understand why on a moral level it's like, oh, you know, maybe you shouldn't be executing people unless they really, you know, do the whole, like, yes, I'm a Naskin and Yoseh, and, you know, they're really pure Rishayim. So the answer is, great. But you can't just let people go around murdering each other. So the Ron says, yeah, there's a separate parallel, which is the Din Malchus, which is whatever happens to be necessary to maintain law and order. The mouse is supposed to go and, you know, stop people from stealing and killing and, you know, and cheating and, you know, making moonshine in their bathtubs if that's what's necessary, right? So there are two questions. There's like, what is the truth? And, you know, how can that best be applied in an imperfect world in a way which best maintains halacha? So in the case of the Ram and talking about justice, so then the question is what maintains, you know, morality and, you know, ethics and, you know, our relationship with God. And separately, it's like what keeps people from killing each other and, you know, having a functioning society. Those are similar, but not exactly in our mind. Here also is about actually making the toelas of the Torah, right, apply in the most ideal way in a world which is, you know, both physical and limited in terms of its, you know, perfection in applying abstract truth to it. Okay, so what happens here is that on the one hand, there is an Akira. On the other hand, it's not an external power of Bezdin that's overriding. It's not an emergency measure that overrides. Even the emergency measures aren't emergency measures, right? Because part of the parcel of the system is that Bezdin is supposed to do this, right? Is that Bezdin is supposed to check and say, oh, what is necessary to appropriately apply halacha is my name. Okay, just one more card. Okay, the Tumim Bayin, just like fill in just like a little bit like next to the Tosfos Sishanim. Also, this is the right bit. So he also talking on this. It says Yirkoch Be'achamim Lakor Derev Min HaTorah Afilu B'Kum Vaseh Kishayish Tam Ktsas L'Matir She'az Eino Dome Akiva. Right? Because if there's a good reason, then it's not actually an Akira. Right? He keeps using these interesting qualifiers, but you can only do, if it's Shevi Altase, you can do Shevi Altase if there's no, like, good, you know, reason that's sufficient that it should be, you know, nekar al yado, but if there is, then it's not really an akira. Hachani mefarish ubav, so the davar hadome yafe, yish lakor lekule alma, v'yisha rayos rabos, taima hevi, mishuv debichi, hai gavno lo chashiva akira. Okay, so his lesson is like extremely, like, you know, he's going back and forth, there's an akira, there's not really an akira, it's not really an akira. But his point ultimately is, I think, that's what we're trying to say to the Tosfos Sishanim, is that in a case where it really makes sense to apply, it's not really an akira. We're not being oker derev min haTorah, right? we have a problem of formally it doesn't fit, even though conceptually it does. It's almost like the opposite, like the upside down and Rambam. He's sort of saying you have, you know, formally it's not fitting, but conceptually it does, so I can reverse the order, right? Here the Rambam says, oh, if it, you know, the formal is the practical, is that Sahaj is supposed to apply, right? So formally it actually totally fits, even if, you know, conceptually we're overriding. The two name of the righted is saying that, you know, basically we're giving the formal acknowledgement of conceptual truth. So what really matters is that it's conceptually true. I think it's this time of saying, like, is more conceptual.
But yes, time is conceptual truth.
Yeah. There's like a good swearing on why it really should apply. It doesn't actually, technically. So we can do it, then it's not an akiva. You know, and Shigal Tasa, okay, you know, doesn't really fit. So then you can tell you not to do anything, but I can't make you, I can't make you actually be open. Okay, so conceptually, true, not formally, so we mean okay. Okay, conceptually, so we mean okay formally. Okay. Right, in favor of the conceptual, but for the Rambam, it's dafka the opposite, right? We're leaving with it. The conceptual is, you know, if the halacha doesn't formally apply, basically, then it doesn't conceptually apply, right? The halacha is perfect, it is, you know, it's not being, you know, constrained in any way, it's objective truth. But in a subjective, you know, physical world, then its application needs to be guided by Sanhedrin in everything. And what's great is that it's this entire spectrum from how to understand Doraisas all the way down to Dakarnas and Zeros and Siyagim are all part of that same, you know, Alpiyah Torah, Asher Yerucha, and that's how Torah is to be applied. What's fascinating is the right way just saying, like, literally the exact opposite of my intent. Right? The conceptual is true, it's the formal which isn't fitting, and they're the okay, the formal, to fit the conception. And basically, they have the ability to give the formal acknowledgement to what is conceptually already true. So that's already they can do in the Kumbiasen. Okay, just sort of like over here-ish, as a sideboard, maybe over here, there's a Chazanish. Oh, okay. So I'm not going to do the Chazan Ish inside, but the Chazan Ish basically says that anytime you have a sort of here, it's sort of here, I'm not really sure how to put where to put it. No, I guess over here, because he's saying that there's a really big era. The Chazan Ish claims, or Tainas, that Bezdin's job, or the Rabbanan's job, is to determine gray area. So he's basically going to argue, although he mostly does this in the Eid Echad Sugya, not necessarily in other cases, but in the case of Eid Echad Vayivam, he says ultimately it's a gray area, right? Because on the one hand, Eidos are above Mishnayim, on the other hand, if the husband's dead, then she's mutter because of the Metzias, not because of any formal action. So maybe you don't need to aid them to attest to a Darash Ba'erba, which doesn't actually have a, you know, a formal action attached to it, any formal change going on, right? It's Mimela, he's dead, so then just sort of a necessary result that she's mother. Right? We're not testifying that she, that on a Darash Ba'erba, we're saying this guy's dead. Right? If he doesn't exist, if he's gone, then she must be mother, right? On the other hand, if she's mother, right, then we're being Matir Isha's Fish, which is Darash Ba'erba. So essentially you have a gray area, right, where there's no real clear way to really pick one over the other. And as such, right, the Rabbanan's job is to determine what to do in these gray areas. They get to, Yishkot Mechayim to determine what happens in the gray areas, in which case you're not really being Oker, right? It's like, you know, Masa L'Chacham. It's like a
I guess he's not necessarily saying that in cases where there's actual Akira. It's not really Ishkov Yav Kamen. It's really, it's not so clear here. And then we're coming in where, we're, you know, bringing in Dharavana. It's not really. Okay, questions? Objections? Objections.